Daniel. I've enjoyed studying this book together. Someone tell us kind of in a summary statement what this last two chapters of Daniel is about. What is the common theme of these last two chapters of the book of Daniel? All right. It's giving us additional information about some of the kingdoms that will be taking over in the Gentile scheme of things. And in particular, the area that we're talking about now in chapter 11 is more detail about one of these kingdoms, the Medo-Persia kingdom, the Persian kingdom, and then eventually that was taken over by the Greek kingdom. And it's giving us information about that Greek kingdom that started out with one big ruler whose name was Alexander the Great. And then after he died, his kingdom got split up into four kingdoms under the generals. And under those generals, then they started fighting amongst one another. And that was the story that we were seeing last Sunday about how these various kingdoms within the kingdom of Greece, these divisive kingdoms, were fighting against one another, and how they would make these political pacts by marrying amongst themselves, and that didn't work. And eventually, we're going to be brought to a king here that's going to be called the fiend of in the divisions. So these divisions. And we looked last time, he is called vile, which means contemptible and disdained. And his name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11. And we worked our way almost through the middle part of chapter 11. And almost all of the rest of this chapter is about this one who will arise and kind of become the prominent figure here. And he is a vile person. And let's read about him a little bit. And it says in verse 21, "And his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain it, the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they overflow from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. He shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoils, and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they shall feed of the portion of his meat. That feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down again, or slain. And both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. Shall he do, so shall he do, even shall he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsook the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, we're going to stop there with our reading, but you'll see that there's a lot of attention given to this final one, who we identify as Antiochus Epiphanes. And we see a lot of his, we're not going to look at this in detail, but we see a lot of the way he works. He works through deceitfulness. We saw how powerful he became here. We saw how that he eventually is going to desecrate. His heart is going to be against the Holy Covenant. He's going to have indignation against the Holy Covenant. He's going to pollute the sanctuary. He's going to take away the daily sacrifice. And this abomination that makes desolation. Would someone very quickly look up Matthew 24:15 and read that out to us? Kelly, quickly, Matthew 24:15. Now, is that in red? Red letter edition? You have it in red letter edition, okay. So who's speaking this?
Jesus.
Jesus is talking about this abomination of desolation, and he's talking about it from Daniel. And so he's, again, telling us to watch for when you see this taking place. And we know that, so there has to be a twofold understanding of this passage. One that was taking place historically, and another that will take place prophetically. And so we know that a time happened in history. We could point to the time when Antiochus Epiphanes offered what? A pig on the altar of the temple in Jerusalem. And offering a pig on the altar of the temple did what? It desecrated it. Abomination of desolation. And so they couldn't use that altar any longer because it was desecrated. Well, they're also then pointing to a time, and Jesus is using it in his own preaching and teaching, that there would come another time when this same abomination of desolation would take place in the future. And so we have to know that there is a twofold way to interpret this passage. One historically, one from a prophetic standpoint. And so we understand and that this passage is not only talking about a historic person called Antiochus Epiphanes, but it's also talking about a future world leader that will do something similar of desecrating the temple. And that one is referred to in other passages of Scripture as the Antichrist. And so what we have here is we have a type of which the antitype is the Antichrist. And so the type being Antiochus Epiphanes, and he's going to be a type of the Antichrist. And so we see that not only does he desecrate, as we've just read, but later in this passage, let's look at verses 36 to 38 of Daniel chapter 11. We did not read this earlier. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that there is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, but he shall magnify himself above all. Verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And so he is going to here deify himself above all gods. So looking at this fiend, he will be deceitful, he will have great power, he will desecrate the temple, he will deify himself. But the end of this passage, verse 45, says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious city mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And so we see that there's eventually going to have what? An end to this one, to Antiochus Epiphanes. And then because he is a type of the Antichrist, you can see that all these same things were true of the Antichrist. Now, again, this last chapter now, chapter 12, we had the contents of chapter 11 speaking about this division of the kingdom of the Greeks, and then how that they warred against each other, and then finally a world ruler would come out of that named Antiochus Epiphanes, but he's going to end. When did he end? In history. When the Romans took over, right? Eventually, the Romans conquered the kingdom of Greece, and then we see that fourth and final Roman Empire. That Roman Empire was in charge when? When Christ came here to earth. They were the national world power that was in charge at that time, the dynasty of Rome going on. Well, in this then we had the contents of this 11th chapter, but now we come to chapter 12 and we have the conclusion. This last chapter doesn't give us a whole lot of additional information as far as the vision goes. It just kind of is a way that we end this chapter. And notice verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So the people are going to be delivered. And this is speaking about this great time called the tribulation period, or Daniel's 70th week that we studied back in Daniel chapter 9 and that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And so you'll see that word even used here in verse 1 of chapter 12. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen. There was a nation even to that same time. So this time of Jacob's trouble, a time that we call the tribulation period. And so all of that's going to take place. And this great prince, Antichrist, will still be controlling there, and that then there's a time coming when Michael will stand up, and he will stand for the people, and he will stand against the Antichrist. And so this conclusion, it takes place here in this first part of the chapter. It's the triumph that takes place. All of these things are the trouble, but it's actually finally going to come to an end. It's going to come quickly. And then this triumph will come. Just when the hour gets the darkest in what's called the latter half of the tribulation period, the great tribulation, just when it seems like they can't go on any longer, then God is going to send Jesus Christ back, and he's going to fight, and the victory's going to be won. And so you can trust in the power of God, and you can trust in the promise of God. Let's read again just to get the context here. Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So this kind of concludes the actual vision. But then we again notice that even then, part of the triumph includes the resurrection of the dead. And the multitude in that triumph are those who are written in the book. And then the manifestation is that they will be glorious. And so we see all of this truth about the triumph that's going to take place at the end of that tribulation period. Now, here's something, and the whole rest of the book now deals with some commands that Daniel receives from God about what he should do with the book. It's kind of interesting. He's supposed to do what with the book in verse 4? Shut it up and seal it, even to the time of the end. When you first read that, you say, now why would he want Daniel to shut this up and seal up this book? This command to shut up the book. Why? Well, I think it's because there are certain conditions that have to be met, and those conditions haven't been met yet, and so Daniel is not even supposed to share this information until the appointed time when it can be opened and shared. And so he's to preserve the vision until then, until a certain time. And part of it's described for us. It says, a time when many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Wow. Some people think that's this time. They give certain phrases here some importance. What are those conditions? Well, running to and fro, some Bible scholars say that's talking about modern locomotion, that we can run to and fro. Who would have believed Daniel if he had said, seal this up until a time when you can fly from the United States? Of course, there wasn't a United States back then, but from the United States to Europe in 6 hours. And they'd say, what? Conditions weren't ready yet. Now, I'm not sure. Notice that what I have at the end of that statement. I have a question mark there. And then knowledge increases. Some define that as saying that's our modern technology. How many of you have a cell phone with capabilities to get online with it right now? How many of you have that in your person right now? Man, knowledge at your fingertips. You know, just modern technology, the knowledge increases. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's knowledge or the availability of information. There's a difference, I think, between those two. But so maybe what he's describing here is a future time when locomotion, transportation, and technology were such that there are a lot of people. But, you know, there are some who interpret this when there are more people who really care about the future. They're running to and fro searching for truth. That they want to know. And that there are more people studying the end times. Now, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we have people running to and fro right now who really care about the future. Because we live in the what kind of generation? The now generation. And there aren't a lot of people who are interested in studying end times. They don't care about the future. They care about now. So I'm not sure that those phrases really talk about running to and fro and increasing knowledge. But whatever those two phrases definitely meet, Daniel was supposed to keep his book closed up until these conditions were met. There in chapter 12, verse 4. Run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And so we see then that some questions begin to be asked here. In verse 5, it's not Daniel who's asking the question. In verse 6, it's who's asking the question. One of the men clothed in linen. So get the picture. Then I, Daniel, verse 5, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other that other side of the bank of the river. And now, remember where he was when he got this vision. Back to chapter 10. And verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. So he's still there by the river. And now in his vision, he sees a person dressed in linen, one on one side of the river, one on the other side of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. So there's another third person. Where's he at? Above the water in the middle of the river. So there's three people dressed in linen here now. One in the middle of the river, one on each bank. All right? And it says, how long shall it be? So one of the people, if they're people, is asking a question. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Since Daniel's supposed to close up until a certain time. And so there's this asking of this question. And that's in verse 6. And then in verse 7, there's an answering about this time. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Well, we've studied this time and times and a half time. What are those phrases referring to? 3.5 years, which is the latter half of the tribulation period. Tribulation is 7 years. Latter half, great tribulation, is 3.5 years. So he's describing the latter 3.5 year period here. Then it says in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he saith, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, which is again, how many years? 3.5. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,353 days. So that's a little longer period, and what's that? That's a period of blessing. But go thou thy way till the end be, and for the rest, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So it's concluded here, and he answers some of the timing here by giving us some additional information. He says it's going to be a time of persecution. It's going to be a time of pollution. It's going to be a time of perplexity. It's going to be for a certain time period. But who is going to understand? The wise, the prudent, are going to understand. The others will be perplexed. They'll not understand. But all of these words, persecution, perplexity, prudence, pollution, and it's going to have a specific period of time, are all amplification about when all of this is going to happen. And he's talking about this end time when the Antichrist will be ruling and when all of these things will be taking place. And that certain time has come when there will be the right technology and the right locomotion, perhaps. That's when this will take place. And there's also then not only amplification, but there's an attitude about this time. Look at verse 9. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And then verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And so he tells him what it's going to be. He pronounces it and creates a promise here. And so the attitude should be that of faith because of what the Lord is saying here to Daniel through the angel. And blessed is he, verse 12, that waiteth. And go your way and rest. And verse 10 talks about being purified and made white. What we see here are two different groups of people. The prudent, those who are understanding, and those who are not understanding. They're the wicked. And they're going to continue to do wickedly, but there's going to be a remnant that are going to trust and rest. And some of them will have to give their lives, but the promise is here that they will be resurrected from the dead, and that will be the time of victory. And so that is a conclusion for the book of Daniel. It kind of closes quickly and abruptly, Daniel was to seal up this vision until the proper time. And again, that vision, of course, came down through in written form to us today. And the closing up may not have to do with the fact that he wasn't able to write it, but that he had no more information to give. It was finished, it was complete, it was sealed, so that there was no additional information going to be given at that time. When was additional information given? In the book of the Revelation. So we had Daniel's visions closed until God saw fit in his timing to add additional information in the book of the Revelation. Our God doeth all things well. And we ought to have great confidence in knowing that these prophecies, these visions given so long ago, found 100% accurate fulfillment, and yet there's additional prophecies that are yet unfulfilled that will take place here upon this earth once we're raptured out of here and the tribulation starts. Then we will watch God work again in preserving his people in their time of great suffering called the time of Jacob's troubles. Any questions? I know it's hard to think on a Sunday afternoon when you would be doing a nap after a big meal. But, yes? If this one who was the actual one giving some of this information was Christ himself, yeah. Well, let's all stand together.